From UCB Comedy Studios, this is the UCB Digital Podcast. Hey, podcast listeners, welcome back to a very special and exciting episode of this podcast. I'm your host, Nate Russell, and you have tuned in to the start of something. I've been promoting for a little while that we've been taking this podcast weekly, and part of our inspiration in doing that was episodes like this one. This was an idea that had been incubating. You know, Ben and I have been talking about it for a little while, and we're really excited to kick it off today. This is week zero of our new recurring series that we're calling The Career Tracker. And what does that mean? Those are just nonsense words. Well, basically, starting today with this episode, we're going to be tracking the careers of four awesome emerging comedian filmmakers. And we're going to check in with them with a new episode every 7 weeks. So these same four filmmakers who you're going to meet today, we'll check in with in about a month and a half, and we're going to track their career and their progress as artists and comedians and filmmakers and, you know, as human beings, too. What projects are they working on? How are they developing themselves professionally? What are they passionate about? And how is all of that evolving as time goes on? I'm really excited to sort of get started with this because really at the end of the day, this podcast is about the sort of tracking the evolution of the digital media landscape. And so we sort of were thinking, why not have some case studies in how that evolution is happening to people who are in this industry too, that we can all also follow along with. And these four folks were kind enough and nice enough and generous enough to sort of be down for this weird, crazy project. And we're really excited to present it to you today. Ben Hosley's here too. Hey, Ben.
Hey, Nate.
I'm stoked. You excited for this one?
I am. I think this is such a cool concept. You know, we should mention, like, this is sort of also an idea that's based off of the 7UP BBC documentary series.
Yeah, it's definitely, I don't know if it's actually BBC. It might, you're probably right. I assume everything that comes out of Britain is BBC. But the director's and a guy by the name of Michael Apted, and I think he took it over because it initially started as a show about 7-year-olds who were going to be like leaders of Britain in the year 2000. And they sort of met them all as 7-year-olds and said, what does the future hold for these kids? And then he went back at 14 and followed up because the original movie was such a big hit. And then he did it at 21 and then he did it at 28. And he's been tracking these subjects, these same kids from when they were 7 to now. I believe the last one that came out was 56,
yeah.
Which came out, I think, like 2 years ago. So he's been following up with these same people if they're willing to do it for that long. And you see their lives change.
It's
you
fascinating.
See their personalities change. People have, like, you know, made and lost fortunes and been in and out of marriages And there's no way to know, but it's just sort of like a document of that progress.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm very excited to see, you know, and I hope that we don't wind up telling tragic stories inside of this series. But we're doing it on a career basis, on a filmmaking basis. So it's really about tracking passion and opportunity. You know what I mean? And also, like, this is an up and down business for sure. You know, because digital media and filmmaking and podcast, it's all sort of like gig based. It's a gig based economy, right?
Right.
So everything is sort of here today, gone tomorrow, which means it's an up and down process. And you've also got to adapt yourself to an evolving environment. So it's going to be really interesting, I think, to track these four folks who we pulled from our sort of like filmmaking community here at UCB to get these folks in here. You know, our network of filmmakers, and sort of pick some folks who we thought represented a good sort of swath of passions, career paths, stations in life right now, and really excited to sort of track that career as it goes through. I will also note that the career tracker, we do have a sponsor here at the show, as always, Bronx Brewery, who we love, and we're going to drink the Slow Your Roll today, Ben, as we listen back to these interviews that I did last week. We're going to drink their Slow Your Roll Session IPA, which is a lovely beer and is quickly becoming one of my favorites of the Bronx selections that we have here at the office. Check out thebronxbrewery.com if you have not yet to check out all their beers and check them out all over the place, including the UCB East Bar, where I have one every single Friday night before my improv show. or I guess after my improv show.
You could do it before.
Before, after, what's the difference? But yeah, we're always appreciative of Bronx Brewery. The career tracker itself, I think, is a nice fit for a sponsor as well. So if you're a brand out there listening to this show, and maybe even a pizza brand like Domino's, the career tracker is a perfect buy-in for Domino's, which does the pizza tracker at home, which, Ben, I believe you're familiar with.
Oh, I know all about it. It's great. You see the guy who's making your pie, you get to follow the process along.
Yeah.
It's like a timeline of your pizza from inception to your door.
Yeah. And so we've got the beer. We need some pizza around here. So we think Domino's would be a great sponsor for the career tracker episodes of this show. Domino's, come at us, man. We just want some pizza to drink with our beer and follow these comedians along as they go on to great success in life. All right. That's enough of our certain plug towards Domino's. Let's get it started with Career Tracker Week Zero. As I mentioned, today we're going to meet these folks, sort of set up where they are in life and in their career and what they are hoping that the future holds for them. And we're going to start with a comedian filmmaker who is a friend of mine. He was an intern here at UCB last summer. His name is Ben Marshall. He's 22 years old. He's a senior at NYU, got a really great head on his shoulders. He's the kind of guy who's had an internship at every comedy company in New York. Ben Marshall was at above average before he was at UCB.
I did know
He left us 2 weeks early because he got a job at basically on the writer's assistant side of, I mean, it was a writer's room intern at Jimmy Fallon. Mm-hmm. He's a hustler and he's got a good head on his shoulders. But guess what? In 6 weeks, he graduates from NYU and he enters the workforce. So this is going to be really fun to follow along with because where's the world going to take him? We don't know. But let's find out where he is right now. Week Zero with Ben Marshall. So, Ben, as we're talking now, are we weeks or are you days away from graduation? How far away from graduation are we right now?
I think I have about a month left.
Month left. And so what's your day to like, what is the day to day right now for you? A lot of classes or is this an easy semester?
Class wise, this is an easy semester. I'm part-time right now, just doing two classes. But you know, still putting a lot of time into Hammercats, my sketch group at NYU.
Okay.
And then working on some other projects on the side, but day to day, it's pretty smooth sailing.
Cool. From a school perspective.
From a school perspective, yeah.
And when you graduate, what is the degree that you will hold?
I will hold a BFA in film and television.
A BFA in film and television. Okay. And
yeah.
And I guess we wouldn't really be talking right now if you weren't planning on using it in some way. All right?
Yeah. Yeah, I guess so.
We're going to talk again in a couple of months, like 6 or 7 weeks here. Where do you think that you will be at that point? What's your plan for, if graduation's a month away, right after graduation, what do you think life is going to look like? How's it going to be different than right now?
Yeah. I mean, the beautiful thing about this is I am so up in the air right now about everything in my life post-graduation. Tentatively, I would like to stay in New York and try to find just some sort of day job to make money while I keep doing my own comedy stuff on the side. But it's so up in the air to the point where, so I spent a semester in Sydney, Australia.
Yeah.
And right now I'm talking to this comedian I met over there who works in Nickelodeon, Australia, who's saying he could put in a good word for me if I wanted to move back to Sydney for a year and get a job there.
Really?
I'm not sure if I would do that, but it seems to be an option.
So then there's nothing firm. Graduation happens, there's nothing firm about what you're doing at that point.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. So how does that feel? Is that stressful or is it you feel comfortable with that?
Oh no, it's deeply terrifying for sure. Yeah. I think I'm at a point where if I stay in New York, as long as I can find a way to financially support myself, I think I have a good enough network of people around me to know that I can be doing a lot of like fun comedy stuff with people I really like working with. So in that sense, it's like, it's not like I'm moving to a new city and won't know anybody, unless I move to Sydney.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think financially it's the biggest stressor right now.
Are you in an apartment or are you in a dorm? Is that also part of the
stress? I'm in an apartment right now.
So you have a, it's not like you're getting kicked out of the place you're living at minimum.
I am. Well, I'm not getting kicked out, but I'm going to be moving out, trying to find a new, cheaper place.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay. And in terms of it, like, so I guess in terms of like, day job stuff and the sort of network of people you have to help do that, right? You've done a lot of internships mm-hmm. while you've been at NYU.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
is any of that going to bear fruit towards work or are all of those, more just like references?
Well, I'll probably reach out to people in the, who I've worked with in the past and see if they know of anything, opening, but I think there is a sort of a, like an internal debate between going the maybe safer, more like time commitment production job route, and sort of trying to work my way up that way, or just like really committing to writing and performing and doing something that's more flexible so that I can focus on that.
Okay. And on that end of the sort of passion stuff, what are those sort of like projects you're working on, creative projects for yourself right now?
Yeah. I think the biggest thing that I'm excited about right now is I'm co-hosting and producing this, like stand-up character show at the Pit called Please Don't Destroy My Farm, with my friends, Martin Herlihy and John Higgins. And that's just been a blast. It's like, it's just creatively really what I want to be doing. Logistically, it's sort of hard to put together every month. It's a lot of work, but yeah, I think running shows and just getting on stage as much as I can, is really what I want to be doing.
Yeah. And finding a way to maybe make that work long-term, or is the production side stuff where you feel like, I don't know, how do those two things jive in your mind? The sort of like writing, performing, stage time, and the sort of production work.
I think I'm definitely more passionate about, writing and performing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I think if anything, the production stuff would maybe be like a means to just sort of work my way over towards that. Yeah. Cause I think what I really want to be doing is writing. Like eventually down the line, I'd love to be a TV writer.
Is the training that you've had at NYU, is your, the degree is a film production degree, right? How much of that side have you gotten from the experience at NYU, as opposed to like what you're doing just for yourself outside of school? Like, is there training for that side that you've gone through?
Yeah, I think I've definitely been exposed to a lot of like on set and just sort of more technical production experience through NYU. But yeah, I think when I was in high school and I was applying to film school and stuff, I was really set on like working on set and directing and doing production and like maybe being a DP. But then as I got to college and got more involved in comedy, I like sort of figured out that writing and performing and acting is sort of more what I'm really creatively interested in.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. So I think you can sort of see that shift in like even the classes I've taken at NYU.
Is there been a focus to the education? Like, have you took more writing classes as a result of that shift?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Like, I'm not shooting a thesis film, anything, which is something a lot of people do their senior year.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah.
How much do you feel like, as you think about embarking on postgraduate life, and you're not planning mm-hmm. to go to any more school, right? That's not part of the plan? Graduate school isn't part of the plan? Okay.
No, it's out of the question. Yeah.
as you're starting to think about like going into a career phase of life, postgraduate, do you feel like you're going to be relying more on
the NYU network of people that you know from school and from your program or just socially at NYU? Or do you feel like you're going to be relying more on the sort of like comedy or work experience, like contacts you've made outside of the NYU ecosystem towards building a career?
Oh man, that'll be interesting to see. I think I'm lucky because I sort of have a big crossover there where like there's this really great, like community at NYU of comedians who are all like getting out there into the actual comedy world outside of NYU. So yeah, I think it's a nice mix. I've been lucky enough to like meet a lot of people, outside of NYU just through doing comedy and doing internships and stuff. But yeah, I think I definitely have a good core of people at NYU too, who are sort of looking to do the same thing as me.
Yeah. I guess what I'm interested in is the idea of like what you're expecting. So as you go out, which group do you expect to be a more influential network towards finding work? Is I think my question.
I think towards finding work, I mean, it sort of only makes sense that the people who I would have met in internships and stuff who are actually already sort of established in their fields would probably have a little bit more of an influence on me.
Okay.
But I think in terms of like doing my own creative independent projects, it's going to be a lot of people I know from the NYU comedy world.
Okay. And if you had to take a guess at where you're going to be when we talk next in 6 weeks, where do you feel like you're going to be? What are you leaning towards? Is Sydney that realistic?
Well,
that'd be fucking crazy, man.
Honestly, I don't know. We'll see if this guy comes through and how I'm feeling about the whole thing. I think realistically in 6 weeks, I'll probably be, well, that's what, like two weeks after my graduation, I'll probably be in New York, working, hopefully working some sort of day job and, continuing to, do my stand-up show. I'm contributing headlines for The Onion, which is taking up a lot of my time, which is fun. Probably keep doing that. And then another thing is a couple friends of mine, we just started writing a feature that we're hoping to shoot just super low budget over the summer on weekends.
Okay, that's week zero with Ben Marshall. Holy shit, Haas. This one could go a lot of different ways.
Yeah, no, that moment where you ask him, what do you think is going to happen? Just how are you feeling like about graduating? And I remember that time in my life, man. It is exciting, but it is scary.
Yes, very much so. I mean, the guy might move to Australia. He might find something here in New York. I mean, look, he's got a very good head in his shoulders. I think he's going to land on his feet. You know what I mean?
I think he's going to be just fine.
Yeah, but that's exactly the point is like, let's see what the process is to sort of like get there and follow along with it. I mean, he's got some creative projects he's passionate about. Like there are so many different ways that he can slice off building a career, you know what I mean? In comedy and the kind of stuff he wants to be making. I'm really excited to see how he does it. It's not a matter of will he do it. I think it's a question of how he will do it.
Right.
I'm fascinated by that. All right, let's move on to our next comedian filmmaker, and we're actually going to have to travel about 3,000 miles to get there, because our next filmmaker hails from sunny Los Angeles, California. Marla Black is our next career tracker subject. Ben, you've worked with Marla before.
I love Marla.
Marla's
she's the best.
Great.
She's so driven and so organized and just a delight to work with.
Right. Marla was the reason that Ben and I have both worked with Marla before is because she for a while was the office manager and a production coordinator out of the UCB Los Angeles offices for UCB Comedy. She worked on a bunch of TV development projects for us and the UCB show season 2 out of that office. But she left us late last year. We go into this because she got an executive assistant job for the TV Land show Throwing Shade, which just finished its first season on TV Land, which was a great opportunity for her and an ability to move up in the sort of like TV production world. Marla's originally from Canada. We talk about her immigration sort of some of the work that relates to her being an immigrant in this episode. We also talk about some of her experience, because when she was in Canada, and Ben, I don't know if you know this, she did all the music clearance for Canadian Idol.
No, I didn't know this at all.
Yeah. So that's actually, it applied very well to some of the stuff she did at UCB. But yeah, she used to talk about having to like sort of negotiate the process of like songs for Canadian Idol, which sounds like it doesn't sound like a job that I would really enjoy, but it sounds like an interesting job. For sure. And Marla's interests also like lend her towards, so she has a production background and a sort of producing background. She also has a performance side and a writing side. And we talk about that too. She hosts storytelling shows at the Inner Sanctum Cafe at UCB Sunset. She's involved in the UCB community out there as a comedian. She hosts for a little while. She was doing like a puppet comedy show out of the UCB Inner Sanctum Cafe. I don't know if she's still doing that. Maybe I'll ask her about that next time. But excited to sort of be able to track along with Marla, who left the sort of like nest of UCB, is back out into the sort of production world, moving up, making moves. Let's see where the future takes her. Let's jump into week zero with Marla Black. So, Marla, what was your last title on Throwing Shade? What was your title there, and when did that job end?
Okay. My title was executive assistant.
Executive assistant.
So I was the assistant to the two creator hosts.
Okay.
Who are also like executive producers, writers, all the things. And then I was also assisting just the straight showrunner.
Okay.
That ended 2 weeks. No, two. Yes. 2 weeks ago.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wild. How does that, and I know that you have a pretty wide sort of like set of skills in your background. You've done, in addition to like the stuff that you did at UCB in the office and on a producing side and all that stuff, you also have performance background and a producing background, a music clearance background, right? You've done a lot of different stuff. How did that job track into where you want to be going career-wise?
I think probably the coolest part about this job was just that when you're assisting the showrunners, you literally get an inside look into everything, every aspect, from the creative to staffing up to, through post, everything kind of comes across your desk, and you're either in the meeting or you've set the meeting up.
Sure.
And what was especially interesting about Throwing Shade was that I was helping three different people. And three different people who, they fulfilled different roles, but they did hold the same title. And they had to make decisions about the same things. So to get three completely different perspectives on how to handle everything that happened there was so interesting.
Yeah. And what is the sort of instruction that you take away from that for your own projects or your own career, where it takes you next? Like, what do you walk away from that, experience with?
I think what I love doing the most is probably writing and performing.
Yeah.
And in that area, I mean, they're essentially the head writers. There is a head writer, but when you're the host, creator, and a writer, a lot of that creative say and that creative flow goes through you.
Sure.
And so you learn a lot about what's helpful when you're a writer on a team and maybe what's not so helpful. And it definitely changed my perspective on like how I would behave if I was a writer in a room. Like I felt like it really gave me an inside perspective. And same as a performer. Like I think you see, it's like seeing what's on the other side of the curtain. You're like, oh, that's useful. That's not.
Sure.
And maybe it takes a lot of the, I think, and maybe you'll get this from a performer side, especially, and I'm going to talk about just the performance side. I think writing's a little different, but you take everything so personally.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You're like, oh, you don't like me or you don't like this thing. And when once you help behind the scenes, you're like, oh, it sort of has nothing to do with you. I mean, it does.
Right.
But it's such a small fraction of the equation that I think it takes a little bit of the crazy making that you can do as a performer out of it. You're
sure.
Just like, okay, well, I did my thing and that's my thing. And now there are like 20 other factors that come into play. And if I get it, great. And if I don't, well, maybe it was me, but maybe it was one of those 20 other things.
Yeah. I know that you mentioned before we started this that you're off for a little bit of, you know, vacation time, but what is the plan right now? Like work wise, or what's your sort of like approach to the next gig and how is that sort of shaping up?
Yeah, I think I usually am in a panicked state when my contracts end. Because I'm like, I'm never going to work again. I'm not really feeling that way this time, which is different. But I'm going to go with it because it is much more relaxing than panicking. Yeah, and there is a potential that this show could be picked up for another season or some more episodes. There's also a potential that the UCB show could come back. So I know that potentially there might be gigs in my future. But I think gaining the perspective from the inside that I did, I kind of, knowing that I want to make the move into the writer's room or more so on the creative side, I kind of have a to-do list of things I'd like to accomplish that I'm embracing the time right now to kind of do those things. Yeah.
That makes sense.
And kind of fulfill the creative side.
And what are those goals? Or what are those things on that list that you are trying to check off?
I'm amazing at getting scripts almost finished and then not doing the like polish.
Okay.
Or like taking those last notes. So I think my focus right now is just there are so many things that are almost ready to go and I just need to kind of shepherd them to the point where it's like, yeah, I could show you to somebody and not feel embarrassed.
Sure.
So like, yeah, this is a good representation of who I am as a creative person. And this is in my voice. Mm-hmm. And this is as strong as I can make it at this point in my career.
And there's some concrete projects that you are looking to take that step with right now.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely have like writing samples of like, will they be made? Well, probably they're going to be more of a sample than getting like a $3 million feature made. But yeah, there's definitely those kind of things. And then I'd like to do another short. I had released like while I was working, like a 2-minute short. And that was really fun. And I'd like to kind of make something else because it's so great to do shorts because the process is so much faster than anything else you can create in this industry.
Yeah, I can dig it.
Yeah.
And so it sounds like then you're sort of like taking a little bit of downtime between what is ostensibly like kind of a day job in a way, though it's in the business and it's instructive towards where you want to be. It also sounds like it's like a little bit of like a day job passion sort of like duality that you have going on right now. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I think that's totally fair to say. I mean, I used to call when I did music clearance, I called it my waitressing job.
Sure.
Yeah, I don't know. That is kind of a strange thing that people have often asked me about in this industry is why don't I just get a waitressing job?
Uh-huh.
And honestly, I've never had one. I've always worked in the industry, like either in front or behind the scenes, which it's a double-edged sword because you are meeting people, you're learning. And at the same time, every production job is all consuming.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I've ever discovered a way to not make it all consuming.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe that's an experiment I could try. I don't even know if that's possible, but it'd be cool to find out.
Yeah. Are you actively pursuing on a performance side right now too? Are you auditioning or are you doing stuff that's like an investment in the performer side of your, you know, career track? Or is that sort of the backseat?
I've been auditioning mostly for commercials in my time off. Which is the other thing. I'm sure my agent semi hates me when I take huge hiatuses off.
Yeah.
But yeah, I've been auditioning for commercials and I have a show that I run with my friend Rose called And Then What, which is storytelling. and improv.
Uh-huh.
And we do that once a month. So it's nice to kind of be able to put a little bit of focus into that. And I had done a special edition, which was like an all immigrant edition in February.
Cool.
Which was really fun. I'm an immigrant. I'm not just.
You're from an immigrant from the North.
Let's make that clear.
Yes.
I feel like.
You weren't like, hey, let me find some immigrants. I'm not one. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes
sense. Like, I am an immigrant myself, and I felt like it was an important show to put together.
Yeah. No, that makes total sense. And what's interesting is that you're defining hiatus, like, from your agent, your commercial agent, as being the time when you take a production job, right?
Yeah. For sure.
So it's almost like it's because right now is a hiatus for the show that might come back later.
I guess I'm always on some sort of hiatus.
Yeah. Okay. So like right at this moment, you're sort of like recharging the battery, looking for the to make creative steps for yourself, especially like on that writing side of the process.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you think we're going to touch base again in another like 6-7 weeks? Where do you anticipate that you'll be career wise or like passions wise at that point, as opposed to in this moment right now?
I think my focus and my hope for that 7 weeks is more of a process thing. Like, I would love to be able to hop on the phone with you and be like, yeah, I've finished a lot of scripts and things are in a point of being shown to other people.
Yeah.
That would be my biggest hope. As far as like what happens in the industry, I mean, I'll probably be working somewhere else at that point.
Okay.
But yeah, the thing that would make me happiest to be able to tell you is like, yeah, I completely finished and polished a bunch of things that are now in my repertoire that can become like a sample of who I am as a creative person.
Cool. So that's week zero with Marla Black. Again, doesn't know where life's going to take her. She's out of a contract, Ben. Where's it going? A lot of ways it could go.
I miss Marla. It's nice hearing her voice. But you know, the other thing about her is that, yeah, she's so driven and she's having this moment between contracts, but it's nice to hear that she's not as anxious or worried, that she feels confidence in what she can do with her abilities.
I think that it's also indicative of when you like, it's like, look, she had a career going in Canada. She moves to California, right?
Yeah.
You sort of have to start again. It resets the clock on your anxiety. You know what I mean?
True.
But then you rebuild a network. You have opportunities. Like, she has found community at UCB, even though she isn't an employee here right at this second, right? And so you find a network again, and you find some other professional opportunities. Like, it gives you a little bit more of that cushion to be like, I trust that I can find the next thing. You know what I mean? And I think especially in a place like Los Angeles, where opportunity at least seems like it's like evergreen and abounding in this business, especially if you're willing to do the production side stuff, right?
Yeah.
That's the other thing. It's like, maybe the opportunity, she's going to have to grind a little harder on the performing and writing side, but on a production side, she's got a resume, she's got network. You know what I mean? Like, it feels like she's going to find the next thing there. And the question I think in the future for her that I want to ask is, how does she continue to take the time to develop on the stuff she's passionate about?
Which is a real challenge to be able to do those two, like balance those two things.
Absolutely.
It can be a real challenge, but that's the hustle.
That is the hustle. And that actually dovetails well into our next career tracker, because talk about hustle.
Oh my God.
My goodness. We're back in New York for this next one. This guy, if you're around the comedy scene in New York, you've met Mehdi Barakchian, who also left a part-time position at UCB last fall, and in part because he started becoming a commercial booking machine. In the last 6 months, he's had like 3 or 4 national commercials. He was all over this FedEx commercial that played during every football game last season. He's in a Walmart commercial. He's in a GE commercial. The guy's been to Toronto more times in the last year than, you know, some people have been in a lifetime. He's become an acting booking machine. And so really curious to talk to Mehdi, because Mehdi's background is on a production side as well. When I first met Mehdi, he was a producer that was looking to hustle on that side. He produces a very popular live show that takes place at Caroline's with his fiance, Jamie Lelo. It's called Brunch Night with Jamie Lelo. Ben, you've seen that show.
I have.
It's a very charming show. And so he produced the shit out of that show. And then he's been a producer for the digital teams here in New York. His current team, Fronson & Fronson, has a new series that's going to come out in hopefully a couple of months. And he's been doing a lot of production work in that way. But having booked in the last 6 months, you've seen him transition to being more of an actor. And we talk about that. And how does he sort of like start to really grind on that side? And how does he continue to develop his, like, I mean, he's got a hustler sensibility. And how does he continue to develop himself and work on new projects and get more invested in things while also, you know, being the sort of commercial booking machine that he has become? So very excited to talk to Mehdi. Here it is, week zero of Mehdi's Career Tracker. Mehdi, here's the first question for you.
Great.
You've undergone a little bit of a career shift recently.
Yes,
in part because
correct.
Of some commercial success.
Yes,
and acting
that is true.
Side.
Yeah.
So how do you, like, if you meet somebody now, how are you framing, like, what's your... What do you do, Mehdi?
It's always been comedian actor.
Comedian actor, that's the phrase.
It's always been that. I was producing because I was pretty good at it and it was paying the bills.
Yeah.
But it was never going to be the end result.
Okay.
So it was always still comedian actor, but I was waiting to try to make some money as an actual comedian actor.
Great.
Before like making that jump and letting go of producing.
And right now you are at that stage of the process. That's
yeah.
how it's feeling. That's how it's going.
Yes. The last 6 to 8 months, I make my living... acting.
Great. So what am I catching you in the middle of like this week? Like what's your week look like?
It's really an insane week. And I'll look back on this and remember how insane it was, which is kind of funny because, wow. So Monday, I shot a small spot on Difficult People.
Okay.
Which is my first TV booking.
Great.
That same day, later that day, I shot a print ad for the NFL. Which I'd booked them both the same day last week and they were going to have to turn down Difficult People.
Yeah.
But then my TV agents by accident gave the green light to Difficult People after I signed the NFL contract.
Uh-huh.
So then both production companies talked to each other.
And worked
it
out.
Yeah. Which was like insanity because I got up at 4 that day and I got home at 1 a.m. because shout out UCB Comedy. Fronson & Fronson did one of its pickup shots at 7 p.m. that
night.
Oh
my God.
So I had a 3-shoot day.
That's wild.
It's nuts. It's the dream, but it's nuts.
Yeah, isn't that the funny part that is the goal, right?
Yeah.
To be that busy, to have that many conflicts where it's like, I got a problem. I got a scheduling problem.
Yeah.
And someone else has to figure it out.
Yeah. Literally.
Not my problem to
problems.
Figure out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that's wild. Okay, so that's Monday. That's just Monday, though.
That was Monday.
And then a lot of auditioning otherwise or other work this week?
Yeah, a lot of auditioning. A lot of like shoring up meetings.
Okay.
I have weekly meetings for... Passport Control, which is the new show. And then I have weekly meetings
doing
for
that,
Brunch
That's
Night.
A stage show at the Pit.
That's a stage show that's got an indefinite run at the Pit.
Great.
And the first one is coming this Tuesday.
Okay.
Or which is like, what, 4 days from now?
Yep.
Which was actually supposed to happen last month, but was rescheduled because of that big snowstorm that we got
on
April 11th.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Or I'm sorry, on
March?
March 11th, yeah.
Okay.
Or March 14th. But
something
yeah.
right there. Okay.
So that's what I'm looking at now is that show's coming on Tuesday. And then also, you know, the shows you do on any given evening, like tonight I'm doing Woke as Fuck, which is, Nicole's show. And then I'm hosting a show called Electrical Dysfunction on Saturday. So it's like all those little spots like that. So that's mm-hmm. what I'm looking at in the next week or so.
And you're still doing Brunch Night.
Still doing Brunch Night. Brunch Night's coming back, the week after Passport Control, the following Tuesday's Brunch Night.
Okay.
And right now we're in the fine cut for a film that I EP'd and had a starring role in, an indie film that a friend of mine, Devin Kloss, wrote. And we're on the final, like, last couple back and forths on, like, specific little notes on music and audio mm-hmm. and stuff.
Cool. That's fun. And what's your goal with that piece?
That one, I'm hoping it's all said and done next week and we'll start to put some money into submitting to festivals.
Okay.
And right now we've just kind of whittled down which festivals we're going to, it's a 50 minute film.
Okay.
And at 49,
so that's above the feature threshold.
Yeah. 49 is 45 to 49 is like what most, film festivals will do the cutoff between short film and feature. We've decided to, after like talking back and forth with my other producers, to push it up to feature add a couple seconds of B-roll up top for the intro and lengthen the outro and put scenes back in that we cut for time, because we think we have a better shot as a short feature than we do as a long short.
Right.
Because programming wise,
a long short is hard to get into.
Yeah,
program.
Exactly.
That makes sense. Okay. I mean, that sounds like a pretty full plate.
Yeah. It's insanity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where are you putting, where are you putting your energy or enthusiasm right now inside of that, you know, really sort of like widespread set of projects? Where's the most energy going?
The most energy, like what, most of the work I'm putting into it?
Yeah, most work. And then I would say, secondly, most enthusiasm.
Yeah, I think right now, Passport Control.
Okay, both. Both work
I think
and
for both,
passion.
Yeah. I think for both, because right now it's the center of my focus. We haven't done one yet. And also, it's a project that I think no one's quite doing that.
Yeah.
I think that there's a market for it. I think it's super palatable. I think it's sellable. And it's a thing that if I'm not able to get us into any kind of like meetings with TV development for that show in like 6 months, I'm going to be really disappointed in myself. Because I think we have a really talented staff, and I think we have a really strong hook, and I think people give a fuck to see it.
And that's even a part of this phase of the process. So show one isn't even up on its feet yet. And you're already having that sort of like long play mindset towards the project.
Yeah. If this show isn't in meetings in 6 months, I'm pulling it.
Okay.
Like, and we'll do something else. And that's not to disenfranchise all the writers and people who are doing work in it, but like, I just feel like I feel so strongly about it. If it isn't doing anything there, then we got to make a change.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah.
And then where does the sort of like, so you also said this week was the first like TV booking. Have you been doing a lot of like auditioning for legit stuff, or how new is that into the mix?
This was my first season of it. This was my first pilot season of like going out for stuff. I've done well with commercials. I've like booked quite a few, and that's been paying my bills, but I hadn't seen much on the legit side of stuff. And I've been like working with a coach, because it's a whole different process, and I'm not a trained actor by any means. I'm a guy who, you know, took a lot of improv classes. So this is my first round of it. So that was a huge deal for me, and that was a goal I set for myself January 1, where I was like, this year I book a TV spot.
Okay.
And I'm really, really, really happy. I feel like I lucked out, because it's funny, because when I went in for the audition, I went in for an audition for a different role, and then the casting director held me and said, hey, read for this other thing. And I got the other thing, and the original role I went out for, someone else at the theater got.
Oh, great.
Which is someone I know, which I don't know if I can even say it yet, but it's really, when the episode airs, it's going to be really funny to see.
Okay. Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Well, that's fun. I guess maybe the question is, where sort of like on the, I mean, it seems like you have more passion for the stuff that you have a little bit more sort of like, stake in as a producer too, right? Because Passport Control is a... You'd be attached to that on a producing side too, right?
Yeah,
that's creative sort of like management,
that,
as opposed to just like going out for commercials and stuff like that. So I guess how do you balance those? How are you balancing those two sides of your lifestyle right now? Because the stuff that's paying the bills is the commercials, and now hopefully a little bit more TV stuff or like legit stuff. But the stuff that you are most passionate about is the stuff that you're incubating.
Yeah.
Where's the balance there?
I don't know that I'm doing a good job of balancing it. I'm kind of just extending myself too much and burning the candle at both ends.
Yeah.
I'm saying yes to as much as I can possibly take on. And the only end goal I have is this idea of like, I try to have everything pointing in one general direction.
Yeah.
And my end goal is, or my constant goal is, be ready for when the opportunity comes. So it's that idea of like having these ideas incubating, having other scripts that like I'm working on with Jamie.
Yeah.
Having that stuff ready so that, okay, a commercial takes off, a TV reel takes off, and then someone's like, let's ask Mehdi if he has any ideas for other stuff.
Yeah.
Well, here's 6 things that I have.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Brunch night, we have Passport Control. We have this cheesecake pilot that Jamie and I wrote. We have, you know, all these things ready.
Yeah.
That's been the goal. I don't know if I'm doing a good job of balancing it, but I am just kind of like running as hard and as fast as I can.
That makes sense. And it also seems like you're sort of very goal-oriented in that way. You set year goals? Do you set milestones that are shorter, longer? What are the type of milestones you set for yourself right now?
I didn't even recognize that I was doing that until sitting here, and when I just said that I set that goal for January 1. But like last year, my goal was get an agent. And then halfway through the year, my goal was book a commercial. And then this year, my goal was get a TV thing.
Yeah.
And now, you know, with Passport Control, my goal is get that show, get someone at Netflix, mm-hmm. FXX, you know, any of those places to look at it. TBS, yeah. Like just give it a look.
Mm-hmm.
That's my goal right now for that. So I do set goals like that, but I've only been setting them in so far that so far I've hit them.
Sure. So it's not that it's necessarily like a thought out, like what, like it's like, what's the next thing in front of me that I want, that I sort of want to achieve. And then once you get there, you sort of reassess what the next thing is.
Yeah.
That's the approach.
I think so. Yeah. And okay. It's just like, as much as it is that one thing of like, you know, get an agent or book a role.
Yeah.
I feel like there's so many different facets to it. Like this indie film that we produced, or each one of them has its own thing.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, you know, throwing the ball way ahead of myself and then trying to run to catch it again.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that makes sense. And are you, like, what do you learn? Like, I guess, what is a week like this with that three shoots? What does that, sort of like teach you about your process or what you're excited about? Cause I also imagine that like, if you lived every day, like you did on Monday, you'd be pretty miserable.
I think it'd be bad for my life and for my relationship.
Yeah.
I think it'd be bad across the board. Right now it's just taking and saying yes to everything, but I think the goal is to get better at managing time away from all of it.
Okay.
The difficulty I have, and I have this conversation with so many of my friends that are in comedy, they're always like, you know, if I go on vacation this weekend, I'm going to get away from comedy. We're going to go to Cancun for the weekend, let's say, or yeah. for a week or whatever. You plan this trip out for 6 months. Like, I'm going to get away. I'm going to shut it down.
Yeah.
Nothing. Instagram, Facebook. I don't want to know anything about comedy. My first thought is, all right, I'm going to pack my T5i, a couple lenses. I'll make sure I bring a shotgun mic because I'm going to have a great idea while I'm in Cancun. And wouldn't it be dope to shoot a sketch in Cancun and put it back in New York?
You yeah. know?
Like,
yeah.
It's like, my goal is to really try to shut down and slow it down, because I feel like I'm doing what I love, uh-huh. and I don't feel like I need a break from it, but I see myself break down
yeah.
every few months, or be too anxious, or, you know, it's 12 o'clock and I'm on my third cup of coffee.
Like, yeah.
actively trying to take better care of myself and focus on the rest of my life.
Okay. That makes sense. And what in the short term, so we're going to touch base again in like 6-7 weeks here. Mm-hmm. So where are you hoping that you'll be at that time?
In 6 to 8 weeks?
Yeah.
Where does that put us?
Puts us like mid end of May. Memorial Day. Summer's coming.
Yeah, 6 to 8 weeks. I'm hoping that we've like what, just on the project scale, just
yeah.
like Idol Worship, which is the name of that film, I'm hoping is submitted to several festivals and is starting to hear back on something.
Yeah.
Passport Control, in 6 to 8 weeks, I'm hoping we have some like legit write ups, like not just a
okay.
random blogger, but like a write up.
Yeah.
And hopefully be having talks with other people, and maybe my agents can help push that side of it. Brunch Night, I'm hoping, has a really successful show, and like, cause we're like changing Brunch Night's voice and tone.
Okay.
So I'm hoping we feel good about that and feel energized to go into the next one.
Yeah. Still at Caroline's.
Yeah. And then, God, there's so many different things. Yeah. And just like, I don't know. Still getting callbacks on commercials because yeah. I don't know how the hell that goes.
Sure.
I guess those are the things, right?
That's the aspect of things that you really can't control.
I can't control it, yeah. But you just keep hitting it and hoping something hits, and then, you know, keep your fingers crossed that lends itself to someone asking you, what else do you want to do? That's the goal.
All right, that's Meddy's week zero. He's hustling. He is hustling. How about that, Haas?
You can feel it in his voice. it feels like he's got energy just talking to you about all this stuff.
He laid out some stakes.
Oh, my God.
That we're going to now follow along with. And to me, what I hear in that is, knowing Meddy, he's saying it in this podcast form in part to kick himself in the ass to do it, too. You know what I mean?
Right.
He's like, you're going to throw the challenge at me to track me? Well, then I'm going to throw some big shit out there so that I get it done.
Hey, but, you know, maybe listeners out there, if you want to tweet at Meddy for a little bit of encouragement,
yeah,
or even just to talk shit and really put the pressure on him, either way, we would yes. love that.
He is at Ready Meddy, which he's ready. He's
yeah,
ready,
barely.
Baby. So really excited to track along with him. All right. And now last and definitely not least, we go back to Los Angeles for Career Tracker week zero, number four. This is a director. On his LinkedIn page, he lists himself as director producer, but he is now officially a director because he just took a full-time job as a director, Nick Stanich. Ben, you don't know Nick, right?
I do not.
So I definitely have worked with Nick the least of the four people who were doing this on, but I fucking love Nick Stanich. He just directed, he's been a digital team member and a beta team member at UCBLA for years. He was the sort of like head director and one of the primary creatives of the Buzzards, who just put out this series on our YouTube page called Shooting Strangers. Did you watch any of that?
Yeah, I mean, what an undertaking too for somebody.
Massive.
Yeah, it's unscripted. Also then on the street, so there's no control.
And they also made an action movie short film as part of it too. It was three productions in one. It was absolutely wild series, and check it out if you haven't yet on UCB's YouTube page. But Nick is a director. And when I caught him in this conversation, he just started a few weeks ago a full-time job as an in-house director. He's the head of video digital content at SB Productions, which we go into. And that's the first time that he's sort of stepped away from the freelance grind in a number of years where, you know, when we talk about this, you're working freelance, you're doing a lot of different things. You're kind of doing whatever it needs to be done to pay the bills. And I think what's going to be very interesting is that, like, I've seen Nick releasing a lot of projects recently. In fact, I just saw a really cool thing that he did with Phil Jackson out in L.A. That's a bunch of music videos for Phil that he directed, which all look amazing. We talk about that a little bit in here, too. But, like, he's stepping away from, like, having to grind and doing a lot of stuff that's, like, sort of, like, small or independent. And now working at a place that he's hopeful gives him some infrastructure, some ability to grow as a director, to get new environments and new experience under his belt. And so it's a really exciting time to connect with him, and also a big life change for him. So let's jump right into it. This is our final career tracker of today for week zero with a director, Nick Stanich. When we talked before, you said that you had just started a full-time job. That's a new thing for you, right?
That's correct. Yeah, I'm about like 6 weeks into it. It's a company called SB Projects. It's a Scooter Braun's company, which has been for years a music management company. And I'm part of this really great new team of, we're basically a brand new production company within his company. So we're going to be, you know, we're pitching branded TV series, everything, just like a new production company would.
And what's your job title?
I'm the head of video there.
Head of video.
Yeah. So I'll be directing and producing and editing and stuff like that. Plus some creative, but, yeah, just overseeing all the video.
Cool. And, is having a full-time job, like what, like you've been freelancing for a period of time before that, right?
Yeah. I've been freelance, for 5 years. Wow. Almost. Yeah, it's kind of crazy. So, and my previous job was not even in this field. It was like, you know, an IT job where I was, you know, had a normal job, and then nights and weekends I would be doing video projects. And then I got to the point where I was able to go freelance. And yeah, for 5 years, it's been bouncing around all the different, you know, MCN digital companies like the Full Screens and Makers and BuzzFeeds of the world, and just doing projects for them.
So what was the, is it the opportunity that made you want to make that change, or what's the reason that you wanted to make a change from a freelance environment to a full-time environment?
Yeah. I mean, it was how good the opportunity was. I think I saw a place where it was growing, and that, I could be a director first and foremost. You know, when you do a lot of digital stuff and you're freelancing, you're kind of, even if the freelance is like constantly coming, which it was, you're doing, sometimes you're just shooting or you're just editing. And for me, directing is always the number one goal. So this gave me a platform where I think I can get the chance to really do that on some bigger projects, and kind of not just increase my portfolio, but get some really good reps at a higher level. And also just nice. It's just nice to be around people again on a daily basis.
Yeah, no, that's cool. And I think, like, in terms of like what the job is now, you mentioned that you are still going to be doing some of those other things. What do you anticipate the diet to be between the roles of producing and directing and editing, or sort of the more like creative or writing side of it?
At the full-time job or outside too?
Yeah, in the full-time job.
Yeah, I think I think it's going to be a lot of, I think it'll be creative first. Mm-hmm. Like, so pitch, we have a head of creative as well. This writer who's really fantastic. So her and I kind of heading the creative, with her probably as the point person. And then once projects start going, you know, I'll be directing them. And then depending on the budget, editing, or we'll be hiring an editor as well. So I think it'll be once production starts, a majority of what I do will be in that director role, which is great.
Awesome. And do you anticipate, but you anticipate it being like more heavy on the directing side of it than always having to be an editor too? Like the team will be,
Yeah, absolutely. Especially because we're not really like, the goal at our production company isn't just to like bang out video. So it's not like like if I was taking a job at like a BuzzFeed, I think it'd be more of like a two-hander director editor, because you're just like, you have to hit video quotas and stuff like that. Whereas I think we're kind of just being more selective with our projects and pitching bigger things. So it's not like we're banging out five videos a week. It's more like, you know, we might do a couple a month or whatever. So, and if we get those jobs, I think there will be room to hire an editor as well.
Yeah.
I think most of my editing will be like, you know, like last week, the Knox is one of our clients. They had someone on tour shooting and they got sick and had to go somewhere and couldn't edit it. So like I got the footage and I just like knocked out an edit for social media, and that was my editing, you know?
Right. Yeah, no, that makes sense. And in terms of like what's exciting about the opportunity from a directing standpoint, because that's like the track you really want to be on, right? Directing mm-hmm. is like
correct.
The thing. Is writing part of the mix too? Is it like a writer director thing, or is it if you're directing stuff that other people are writing, you're happy?
You know, it's funny. It's like, this is like the $1 million director question.
Yeah.
Especially in like in our comedy world. I mean, here's the funny thing. I love the collaboration. Like I love directing other people's writing. Like that's, if I could live in a world where I always do that, I'd probably be very, very happy.
Yeah.
But since we live in this comedy world, I find that a lot of times that, you know, they almost mandatory to write or mandatory to do your own projects, because they feel that'll show your voice. So that is one of my longer term goals this year, is to do a short that I also wrote. But I'm not really in a hurry to do it, because I love doing other people's things that they write. Because I mean, to me, it's like the same way that I think I'm a good director, there's really good writers. So why do an okay job if I can get great words from somebody else and a great story from somebody else and then make it into a great film?
Sure. But writing and directing something is something on the horizon for you in terms of like personal project goals.
Yes, that is especially for this year, I think.
Yeah.
And especially since I think that's kind of the thing. So as part of my full-time job here, like I can't pursue other companies' work, right? Mm-hmm. Like I can't do branded videos for another company. I can't go shoot something for Full Screen anymore. But what I can do is kind of like, you know, I can still do art or whatever you want to call it. Like
yeah.
I can make my own stuff. So like I just had two videos that I did with Phil Jackson, music videos. One came out this week, one coming out next week, that were just like, you know,
awesome.
I wasn't paid. I kind of just did it for the love of kind of getting a rep in and wanting to make something with a friend of mine.
Yeah.
And the same thing. So as I'm doing these branded videos, I think I'll slowly be developing a short, that is my own thing that I think in the next few months I'll make sure it gets done.
And so it sounds like then that you're not necessarily letting the personal, like the full-time job is a passion because it's an opportunity to grow, but you're also not necessarily like saying, well, I need to clear my slate of the more personal development stuff. You're still going to be having the space or the energy for that type of side of the process.
Yeah. And I think for me, it's mostly just like, I feel like it's important for directors to get reps, right? I think you're always as good as the last thing you directed. So even if it's like a small short or whatever, I think it's something that I want to make sure happens. So I can, you know, if I'm doing branded videos and some digital series, that doesn't really give me the reps of, you know, directing actors in the sense of narrative or something like that. So I want to make sure I'm always like, you know, working those muscles, so to speak.
Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense. And so we're going to touch base again in like, you know, 6 weeks or so. What are you hoping that the next 6 weeks looks like in terms of your, you know, development and the kind of opportunities that you're generating through the job or in your sort of personal personal side investment.
Yeah, in the job, you know, I've only been there for 6 weeks, so hopefully we've shot something. Like, hopefully we've, like, made something, either something branded or something that's kind of, you know, we've sold something to a digital platform and we're moving forward with it. That would be, like, I think a 6 weeks would be a good benchmark for that, because that'll be about 3 months into the job. So I'm really hoping I've had the chance to make something then within the company. I think outside, like I said, I had 2 music videos come out, had my series of UCB digital come out. So everything that's old and, like, already shot will have come out and be done. So moving forward, it'll be only things I generate. So 6 weeks from now, I would say, besides the stuff at SC Projects, I'd like to have chosen the self project that I want to do.
Yeah.
And it might be like an outline. It might just be, you know, go through my ideas and see which one it is, but I definitely want to have it bullseyed and be like, okay, this is going to be the thing that I do probably in the 6 weeks after that.
Yep.
And there's one short film that Phil Jackson and I were talking about a long time. And, Carlos Medina, who's a DP out here, we've actually already, like, him and I have already, like, shotlisted the entire thing. Like, we have a shot list, we have visuals, everything ready and done for this short that Phil wrote. We just have to basically pick a weekend. So that's another thing as well, that in 6 weeks, I don't think we'll have shot it, but we might have a date for it as well.
Okay, another exciting one, Nick Stanich. You know, Ben, of these four folks, Nick's the only one who has guaranteed of a lot of projects coming down the pipeline in the next 6 weeks. At least that's how it feels, right?
Yes.
He's in an environment that's going to have high turnover, a lot of different, like, pieces, like, involved in a lot of different pieces of a sort of, like, machine. So excited to sort of track along with that and see how the opportunity meets expectations and how he continues to develop as a creative inside of his job and beyond his job. It's really fun.
But let's also not, ignore the fact that being a director in that whole track, I mean, talk about highly competitive.
Yeah.
So I'm glad to hear that Nick has something stable, but at the same time, man, that is a really hard, hard path.
A really tough road to hoe. I mean, I think that we've got four people for whom it is a tough road to hoe. I mean, everything in this business is, right? But I'm really hopeful for these folks. If you want to follow along, we're posting like some links to these folks and their work as we track along with them in the next few weeks. We will check in with them again in 7 weeks as our career tracker, maybe brought to you by Domino's, maybe, goes forward. And until then, you can follow along with us at UCB Digital on Twitter and UCB Digital Podcast on Facebook. And we'll also post out some links to the social accounts for these folks. You can follow along directly with them as well. And that is gonna do it for episode number 40 of this podcast, our week zero episode of the Career Tracker. Thank you so much for tuning into this episode. Thanks to our Career Track folks, Ben, Marla, Mehdi, and Nick, for starting down this road with us. We hope you'll stay with us as well. We'll be back next week with another exciting podcast. We're not going to be tracking like this, but we have got a great conversation for you next Tuesday. So come on back. And if you like the show, give us a subscribe on iTunes. That's the best way to show some love, as well as giving us a rating and a review. We could use some reviews, and we love to hear from you. If you've got ideas for this show, future episodes, ways we could approach stuff, questions, we're an open book. We are here to talk with you, because this is a conversation. And if you're listening to this show, you are in the trenches as well. So we hope that you'll connect with us.
Yeah, you can email us at podcast, that's plural, @ucbcomedy.com. Please send in your thoughts, concerns, questions, ideas. We'd love to hear.
We would love some concerns.
Hey.
For sure.
Hey,
absolutely.
Sometimes people are worried.
That's very true, and we will absolutely respond to it. As always, you can also follow UCB Comedy, where we've got new videos coming out all the time. We just had a short film released last week on our Vimeo page. We've got some exciting stuff coming out on YouTube in the next couple of weeks that we're going to be talking about in this show. Podcasts all the time at itunes.com/UCB Comedy. Follow us on social media across every platform imaginable. Go to @UCB Comedy. It's there. And until next time, y'all, we'll see you on the internet.
This has been a UCB Comedy production. Check out our other shows on the UCB Comedy Podcast Network.